sin essentially is high treason against the king, against the sovereign. And this is something, if we start to use the religious language of the scriptures, I think that we'll find a greater point of contact, not only in terms of vocabulary, but again, recognizable categories by which we can communicate the gospel. You know, if I were to ask my students, what are the wages of sin, and if someone were to blurt out death, all they would think is God is this this despot flying hot off the handle, just as Richard Dawkins says, and that sort of thing. But if we change the conversation just slightly in the classroom and I ask them, hey, what's the penalty for high treason in the United States? And they'll say, death, of course. Well, what's the penalty for high treason in Israel? Well, it's death, of course. In Brazil, it's death, of course. And I said, do you not understand then what the categories are here, what high treason is? It's colluding with the enemy of the king to subvert his sovereign rule and transfer the throne to oneself or to someone else. What is the penalty then for sin? And they go, ah, we get it. It's death. And I think what we need to do is go back to understanding that the principal metaphor for interpreting anything in Scripture is kingdom. And we have a king, and the king is sovereign. And violating the king's rule, since we've been called to be vice regents in his stead and to image forth his rule, which is to say to do it in a perfect way, to the degree that we fail to do that is an act of high treason. But again, only the king has authority even over his law, and that is with a greater law, and that's the gospel. That's where grace comes in.